We're glad you could join us this Sunday for a monumental worship service as we celebrate God's greatness with our friends from Vacation Bible School. Together, we will consider how the greatness of God's faithfulness is experienced in God's love, presence, power, strength, and plan. And additionally, Pastor Annie is excited to answer some of the questions asked by the children this week at Vacation Bible School. We'll now join Pastor Randy.
You know, when a pastor is uncertain of how to begin a sermon, COVID-19 never fails. It's the only pandemic that runs longer than the Energizer Bunny. It just keeps going and going and going and going and going and going. And even when you think you might be on the other side of it, it crops back up and it keeps going. I wasn't sure if I was even going to be able to attend worship today in person or if I would have to Zoom in this morning. By the way, I was told before worship that the people might actually prefer if I went outside and Zoomed in. I don't know if that's actually true, but, you know. Well, thankfully, neither I nor Deb have any symptoms. Our tests were negative this morning. So you're stuck with me in person, and for that, I'm not sorry. I'm weary from this pandemic. And I know you are weary as well, because we talk about it often. Sometimes we talk about it in a group setting like this. Sometimes we talk about it with just people in passing. Sometimes it's just me and you in the privacy of a holy conversation. We are weary. And to be weary is to be more than exhausted or more than exasperated. Because exhaustion is a state of the body. Exasperation is a state of our emotions. But weariness is a state of the soul. Weariness happens when your body and your emotions sustain more than both can process. And let's be honest. The last 2.5 years have been a processing overload for the world, for our nation, for communities, for our families, for you, for me, for our souls. There has been much death and sorrow and grief and pain, more than our souls can bear. So much so that if we don't start practicing the spiritual discipline of lamentation, our bodies, minds, and souls may never properly heal. Now, when I say heal, I don't mean go back to the way things were before the pandemic. That's neither possible nor realistic, is it? We ain't ever going back. That's done. One of the ways we can honor where we are and honor possible healing is to practice lamentation. Now, lamentation is the passionate expression of grief or sorrow. I like to think of it as when your soul needs to cry through the cracks that are in it. You know, I don't know about you, but my soul has had some cracks put in it over the last 2.5 years. I think many Christians are under the delusion that we must always be happy, or at least appear happy. Christians often say ignorant things like, I'm just too blessed to be depressed. I don't know why I hear things like this in Southern, but I do. If I'm being honest, I'm too blessed to be depressed is not only bad theology, it's bad psychology, and it's bad physiology. It's just bad. It's bad thinking. You know why? Because it's okay to not be okay. It is okay to not be okay. And let me just stop and say this. The National Suicide Prevention Lifeline has changed its number to 988. 988. So if you find yourself in a mental health crisis, you find yourself thinking, I just can't do this any longer, or you know somebody it is, dial 988. It's just not okay or rather, it's okay to be not okay. That's why I like the book of Lamentations. The book of Lamentations is the Bible, and the Bible is one such book that reminds us it's okay to not be okay. And in today's scripture lesson, we see that only when the author is vulnerable enough to express his hopelessness, vulnerable enough to express his lamentation, vulnerable enough to say, I'm not okay, only when that happens does the hope that God has written upon his heart start to shine. Listen again to his vulnerability. I'll never forget the trouble, the utter lostness, the taste of ashes, the poison I have swallowed. I remember it all. Oh, how well I remember. The feeling of hitting the bottom. There's one thing I remember, and remembering, I keep a grip on hope. And when the author here is reminded that hope has not abandoned him, even though it feels like everything else has, even in his darkest hours, this hope starts pointing the way to God's great faithfulness. So he continues, God's loyal love couldn't have run out. His merciful love couldn't have dried up. They're created new every morning. How great is your faithfulness? I'm sticking with God. I say it over and over. He's all I've got left. There's no greater hope than knowing that when everything else and everyone else has failed, when our lives have hit rock bottom, the great faithfulness of God remains steadfast. His love new every morning, and it always endures. As that great hymn of faith reminds us, great is thy faithfulness. And of course, it was this hymn, and it is this Bible text upon which this year's VBS was built. Monumental. This week, the children and the leaders of this year's Vacation Bible School experienced the monumental love of God's great faithfulness. The kind of faithfulness that walks with us all the days of our lives. The kind of faithfulness that stands with us in the gap for us when our souls can no longer bear the weariness of suffering. Now, did the children and adults practice lamentation this week? Like what's present in our scripture lesson today. Was there weeping? Maybe after the children left. But no, they were there. No, we didn't lament. Instead, what we did is we offered the tools of faith and hope in a God whose love never runs out and never fails, because there might be a time coming in their lives when they need this. Because God's love is new every morning. This is why every morning the children would shout in response to what they were learning, Awesome God! VBS taught and reinforced both for children and the leaders the gifts of God's grace that our souls need when our souls are not okay. And I know Kyle did this, but I think we can even do it more obnoxiously right now. So I want to share the teaching prompts with you one more time that Kyle shared. And after each one, I want you to say Awesome God. And if you're not chicken, you'll yell it. On Monday, we learned that God loves us no matter what.
Awesome God!
Tuesday, we learned that God is with you everywhere.
Awesome God!
Wednesday, we learned that God is in charge.
Awesome God!
Thursday, we learned that God is stronger than anything.
Awesome God!
Now, on Friday, we could not gather because of COVID-19. And of course, ironically, the theme for Friday was, God is surprising.
Awesome God!
Surprise! Now, I know that God did not surprise us with COVID-19, but when we are surprised by an unexpected setback, God is with us because God is an awesome God. The great faithfulness of God's love, presence, power, strength, and promise for the future was with us in VBS, is with us now in this moment, and will be with us into eternity. And how thankful I am that we were able to share this together during VBS. For music and crafts and videos and games and snack and togetherness and the old, old story of Jesus and his love. But my favorite part of Vacation Bible School this year were the two questions asked by children attending. A quick reminder, the first day was God loves us no matter what. So in response to this teaching, the most wonderful question was asked by a preschooler. But what if I don't love God? The other question asked was, are all the stories in the Bible true? These are great questions. As your pastor, I'm like, why aren't you asking me these questions? These are great questions. Answering these questions, it's a great way. It's a great way to end this sermon on God's great faithfulness. Because God loves our questions. He designed us to ask questions. And so I want to offer some answers to these two questions. The question number one again is, what if I don't love God? Now listen, behind every question is at least one, if not more, assumptions. And I wasn't there at the time that this child asked this question, so I couldn't dig a little bit deeper. So maybe one of the assumptions was that he or she was thinking, I love my mommy and my daddy, but I don't know God, so how can I love God? And that would be a fair assumption. Or maybe she was thinking, what happens to me if I don't love God? Are there consequences if I don't love God? Or maybe he was thinking, does God's love require me to love him back? What if I don't love God? It's a fabulous question. It's a deep question. And as I prayed over how I might answer this question, the educator in me realized that I better give three age-appropriate answers for the same question. Okay? So for moms and dads in rooms, here's the children's answer. What if I don't love God? The answer? You don't have to. God loves you no matter what. The answer for the youth might be something like this. You don't have to love God. But if you know what love is, and you've ever loved anyone else, then perhaps you've loved God and you've never realized it. After all, didn't God make us in his image? The adult answer, you don't have to love God. That's the point of free will. You don't have to. Why would God give us free will and then compel us to love him? You don't have to love God. Maybe the greater question you can ask yourself is, what barriers do I have that stop me from loving God, the God that loves me no matter what? God so loved the world, he sent his son Jesus into the world to save the world, and there's nothing you can do about it. Because God loves you no matter what. What if I don't love God? You don't have to. He loves you no matter what. Now on to the second question. Are all the stories in the Bible true? I love this question. I love it. I live for these kind of things. And it's a wonderfully fair question, isn't it, friends? Isn't it just wonderfully fair? I mean, if all of us are being honest, we've all had questions like this, at least about one of the stories in the Bible, right? Or how about the things that aren't in the Bible that were like, why isn't this in the Bible, right? Like, where are the dinosaurs in the Bible? I'm going to give you the short answer to that. Day 5. Invite me to ask me that question for real, and I'll do a whole sermon on it. It's exciting. So here's the children's answer. Are all the stories in the Bible true? Yes. But they don't always make sense. As you get older, you'll be able to better understand how the stories of the Bible make sense. That's the children's answer. Yes, but they don't always make sense. Here's the youth answer. Yes. So which story are you struggling to understand? Let's dig into it. Now, adults, you get your own slide for this answer. Are all the stories in the Bible true? The adult answer is yes, but what is the context? What has happened? What is happening historically, grammatically, rhetorically, theologically? What type of literature within the Bible is the question referring? Is it a narrative? Is it a story? Is it a poem? Is it history? Is it genealogy? Is it prophecy? What kind of literature is it? What about you? What's your context? How are you coming to the Bible? Is this question genuine or rhetorical? Are you trying to prove a point, or are you trying to receive one? Whether you or I believe that all the stories in the Bible are true, as we might classify truth in the 21st century, I think is irrelevant. The greater question you can ask is this: can the stories of the Bible, when faithfully interpreted, offer us a greater understanding of God's relationship with Himself, with creation, and with humanity? If the answer is yes, then all of the stories in the Bible are true, even if we cannot fully comprehend them. And by the way, what good is a God that you can fully comprehend? Really? The whole point of God being God is you cannot fully comprehend God. If you could fully comprehend Him, why would we even need to be here? That's the point. We're the creatures. He's the creator. As Paul's words from 2 Timothy remind us, all Scripture is God-breathed. It's useful. All Scripture is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the child of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. You want to hear something good? God loves your questions. He loves them. He designed you to ask them. God is not threatened when you ask questions. God is not threatened when you doubt. When we wrestle with tough questions about God, it means, at the very least, we're questioning whether God is real. And if we were sure that God isn't real, then the answers to these questions wouldn't matter to you. God's great faithfulness is monumental. He loves us no matter what. He loves us when we ask questions. He loves us when we doubt. And since God is the author of love, wherever we love others, we are proving God's existence. I'm reminded of Paul's words in Romans about God's great faithfulness, which I offer now to end this sermon. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Because God's great faithfulness is new every morning. It is eternal. It is the eternal now, and it's the God that loves it when we ask questions, when we wrestle, when we struggle, when we realize that we can't do anything that God won't say, I love. And that's His word, seriously considered this day for our vacation Bible school friends, for the Church of Calvary. All thanks and praise be to the living God now and forever. Amen.
We are glad that you were able to join us today. We hope you found this podcast a blessing. If you would like to learn more about our mission here at Calvary, you can go to our website, calvaryunitedmethodist.org. If you would like to help support our ministries here at Calvary, you can go to our website, calvaryunitedmethodist.org/give, or mail your gift to Calvary United Methodist Church, 4700 Locust Lane, Harrisburg, PA 17109. God bless.